Good evening, everybody. So we have, don't we, in the Old Testament, strict laws concerning the Sabbath upon pains of death if it was broken. And yet we've just read there, haven't we, in 2 Corinthians 3 about that ministration of death, which is the law of Moses, which would pass away. So we really need to reconcile together how those two things can be, that it was such a strict law that must be kept, and yet one that has now passed away. So we need to work out what the relevance is for us and how we should view the law, and particularly then, of course, the Sabbath laws, and whether we should stick to them as they are in Exodus. So perhaps we'd be well to begin in Exodus chapter 20. And this topic really came particularly to the forefront of my mind in a trip to St. Lucia, where there's a very dominant presence of Seventh-day Adventists. So you can imagine in preaching and in conversation, this was a topic that never went away. And so we looked into it. So the way we're going to approach this tonight really is on this basis. Just look in the Old Testament, but the actual Sabbath itself, its laws and its origins, where it came from, what the laws were. We'll look at whether it's therefore binding upon us that we ought to keep it as Christians today in the 21st century. We may well not get time to look at this, but the Lord Jesus Christ and his attitude to the Sabbath and the attitude of the Pharisees to the Sabbath day and the confrontations and conflicts that engulfed the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ as he battled with the Judaizers who were insistent that these laws should be kept and that no healing could take place. We'll look at the principle for our lives, and finally, well, what is the Sabbath looking forward to? What does it really mean for a believer in the 21st century? So we'll find then that it's first given in Exodus 20. Perhaps we can begin at verse 8. So we're going through then the Ten Commandments. And in verse 8 we come to the fourth commandment, which says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. Verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days, so this is the reason, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. So it's saying that it's first given as a law to Moses in Exodus chapter 20 on Mount Sinai. And of course we know this is the Ten Commandments, and it's the fourth of the Ten Commandments. And it's saying, because God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, therefore man ought to follow that pattern and work for 6 days, and on the seventh day, the Sabbath day, man should rest. This is the reasoning behind these laws. But if we just pop forward to Exodus chapter 31, we have just a couple of added details. So it's worth noting that although the pattern is 6 days God created and the seventh he rested, It only became a law in Exodus chapter 20. So when some would argue, as they argued in St. Lucia, that, well, it actually began in Genesis, and therefore it's not part of the Mosaic law, it actually precedes it. It became a law in Exodus, although God established the pattern in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Well, just look at Exodus 31 and verse 13. So we're just looking at the facts at the moment. Well, verse 12, the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, verily, my Sabbath you shall keep. Just notice the details. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you might know that I am the Lord that does sanctify you. So this is between God and the children of Israel throughout their generations. Maybe that gives us a clue as to whether we are incorporated into these laws. And then verse 14 goes on, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. So that's the punishment for not keeping the law of the Sabbath. And then it goes on, whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. And then it goes on to tell us what we've already read in Exodus 20. That 6 days may work be done. But in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. That's a key word, rest. Holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath. That's key. Wherefore the children of Israel, it says, shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So specifically, I think it was 3 times there, we learn that this is between God and the children of Israel for a perpetual statute throughout their generations. It's very specific as to who is incorporated and who is involved in this particular covenant. It's God and the children of Israel. But it wasn't just man, was it, that had to keep the Sabbath? Because we read in Deuteronomy chapter 5, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. So in the land of Israel, on the seventh day, whoever you were, there was rest. Whether you were an ox, whether you were an Egyptian, whoever you were, if you're in the land of Israel, you keep the Sabbath law, because it's to do with God and the land. The land would rest. And that's picked up, and that's where we'll finish later on, that the land would rest. Well, so we've probably picked this up now, that there's actually 2 reasons for the Sabbath. Firstly, it's because God made the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And there's a lovely reason. The second reason is this, from Deuteronomy and chapter 5. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore, because of this, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. So there's 2 reasons for the Sabbath. One is because God created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh day. And the other reason is just remember where you came from. You came from the land of Egypt, the land of hopelessness, the land of darkness, the land where there is nothing. And God brought you out, and therefore you need to keep his laws. You need to keep the Sabbath day. And the word Sabbath means rest. That's what it is. It's a day of rest, as God rested on the seventh day. And we've already picked this up, but it's worth noting that the punishment was death. In Exodus 31, verse 15, we read, didn't we, that whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall surely be put to death. And if we come to Numbers chapter 15, we have what is believed to be the first occurrence of somebody breaking the Sabbath law. And the reason will become clear as to why it's commonly thought that this is the first time. So what we notice from Exodus 31 on the screen is that if you break the Sabbath law, you'll be put to death. But it does not say how you shall be put to death. It doesn't give a law of how it was that the authorities ought to put this man to death. And so we have this situation in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32. That while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks on the Sabbath day. So he's broken the Sabbath law. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And so what we find is that these people know that this man needs to be put to death, but they put him in ward because they don't know how it was, the means by which he should be put to death. God has not yet revealed how a man should be put to death for breaking the Sabbath law. So they take him to Moses and Aaron, and they put him in ward, and then God speaks to Moses in verse 35. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. Well, we know that from Exodus 31. And then the additional detail is given, all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. as the Lord commanded Moses. So what's happening is, they don't know how to put him to death. So they put him in ward. God then reveals to Moses how this man is to be put to death. He is to be stoned. And so that takes place as the Lord commanded Moses. So that is the punishment. It's stoning by death. And it wasn't something that was revealed until it had actually been broken. And then God revealed how it was to be done. So the Sabbath then is all about ceasing from your own works and doing the work of God. That's what the Sabbath is. The Jews then, in their own interests, made many laws about what man could and could not do on the Sabbath day, laws which were not given by God. So the great question then comes is, well, so we understand from that brief survey what the Sabbath is. But how is it binding on us? Ought we to keep those laws that we have just said? If somebody works on the Sabbath day, ought we to stone them to death? And the answer is no. Before we go any further, we ought not to do that. So, is it binding on Christians today? Well, you see, the law of Moses, as we've already seen from those passages in Exodus 31, was binding. It was a covenant, a contract between God and the children of Israel throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant or statute. That's who the contract was between. And we read in Romans 13, verse 19, that if you're not under a law, you do not keep that law to its letter. So I think what we've been told is that this was between God and the children of Israel. And we noticed that, didn't we, in Exodus 16, verse 29. It says, the Lord hath given you, that's the children of Israel, the Sabbath. And then we just remind ourselves of Exodus 31. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel. And so perhaps just those verses, when you put them together, are just telling us something. That this is God's covenant between him and the children of Israel. But that does not mean, does it, that it's not relevant to us. That there's not a message for us. That there's not something in it that we ought to take away. So we find then that from that passage we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that we are not under the law of Moses, because that glory passed away in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll come on to this in a moment. The law passed when the Lord Jesus Christ came. And so Christ brought with him, with his sacrifice and with his life, he brought with him the new covenant. And the law then, as Hebrews 8 says here, in that he saith, a new covenant he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. So I've been told there that the letter and the ritual of the law of Moses is that which was old. And because the Lord Jesus Christ came and superseded that, then that is now passed away. But, as we said, that does not mean it's not relevant. It does not mean it's not got a message for us. So that brings us on to the question, doesn't it? Of, well, does that mean then that we don't keep any of the laws? So suddenly now we've got a situation we might think where, you know, those Ten Commandments, do not kill, suddenly don't matter anymore, that we're not under that law. Well, what we find is, and this is a lovely thing to look out for ourselves, is that the Ten Commandments, there were surprisingly 10 of them. And in the New Testament, what we find is that the Lord Jesus Christ, in his teaching, and in the teaching of the apostles, they reconfirm 9 of them. So do not kill is picked up, for example, in Matthew chapter 5. And do not commit adultery, again, is picked up in Matthew 5 or 6. And so all these 10 commandments are re-given, again, as part of the new covenant. What we find, interestingly, is that the Sabbath law, which is the 4th of the 10 commandments, is never, ever, in the New Testament, reconfirmed. So 9 of the 10 commandments, we are told that we still have to keep those to the letter. We cannot kill, we cannot commit adultery, we still have to honour our father and mother, for example. But the Sabbath laws are never reconfirmed as having to be kept. And that is, of course, completely in keeping with the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ to the Sabbath day. When he said, is it not right still to do good on the Sabbath day? You know, you see a man who needs healing, you still heal him on the Sabbath day. So Romans 2 then, 14, confirms that the Gentiles are not under the law of Moses. They're not in part of that contract, that covenant that was between God and the children of Israel as a perpetual covenant between them. So, there's no place where the Sabbath is taught to be kept in the New Testament. But rather we have this. We have the Lord Jesus Christ saying that we have to observe all the things that he has commanded us. Because we read in Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20, we read there that, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And this is the key. It says, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So when you're doing your preaching, you go and teach them everything that I have commanded you. And nowhere does the Lord command them to teach the Sabbath day, to keep it as the law of Moses taught. So as we have on the screen there, and I've got ahead of myself just a little bit, is that let's put two or three passages together and just see what they're telling us. So, for Christ is the end of the law. Okay, all of the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The law was added because of transgression until the seed, the Lord Jesus Christ, should come. And the law was a schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Each one of those passages and many more are teaching us that the law of Moses came up until John the Baptist, until he came, and then the new covenant is preached. And the new covenant incorporates 9 of the 10 commandments, but not the Sabbath laws. And Jesus says, "Whatsoever I have spoken to you, those are the things you have to observe and preach that people ought to keep them." And that's really the message of the Sabbath day. So perhaps we can come then to 2 Corinthians in chapter 3, the reading that Mark read for us. So I think those passages there, just when we put them together, are giving us a message. Not a message that the Sabbath is irrelevant to us, just a message that we don't have to keep the ritual of the Sabbath, that we are not going to be stoned if we do work on the Sabbath, the seventh day. And again, we'll have some more passages in a few moments which teach us these things. And just for emphasis, we can put this on the screen. Well, just for context, we're really talking in verse 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart." So we're on the subject of the Ten Commandments. We're on the subject of the tables of stone that were given to Moses for them to keep, and the children of Israel, as a perpetual statute for them. But then it goes on in verse 6, doesn't it? And that's what we have on the screen. "Who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit." So we have to keep the Sabbath in its spirit, in what it was meant to portray to us, in what it was teaching, but not in the letter. Not in stoning one another when we do work. That's what that's saying. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit, what it taught. And that's what we'll come on to in a moment. And then it goes on, that lovely statement at the end of verse 6. "For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." So the message for us is that the Sabbath law can give us life, if we understand what it's really saying. And then verse 7 goes on to say, "For if the ministration of death," and that's the Ten Commandments, that's the law of Moses, "the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones," so we know that the ministration of death is the Ten Commandments, because they were written on stones. "Well, if that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance," which glory was to be done away. And that's the point. The glory of the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments engraven on stones, was to be done away. Not done away in spirit, but done away in its letter. So we start to perhaps get the message. And then verse 8 continues the theme and says, 2 Corinthians 3 verse 8, "How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. The new covenant exceeds in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth." And then just that brief note in verse 13. "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, again to be abolished. But their minds were blinded. For unto this day remaineth the same veil taken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. Again and again and again it's saying the veil, the law of Moses, done away in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, verse 12, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. See, the Spirit, as opposed to the letter, is that which giveth life, which giveth such hope. So it's not binding on us in the letter we read, don't we, in verse 7 and verse 6, but it's binding upon us in the sense of the Spirit and what it really represents. And Romans 14 has a very helpful verse. It says, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. And that verse really redresses the balance. Because it's saying, if one man esteems the Sabbath day above another day, and there could be another person who says, well, every day is actually the same, then you've just got to be persuaded in your own mind. You know, you can keep the Sabbath law if you wish, I think is what that's saying. But it's not a binding contract, as it was between God and the children of Israel. And that's something that's really important. We're not, because that addresses the point, doesn't it? That the law is not irrelevant, it's not pointless, because we have to be persuaded in our own mind as to how it's most beneficial. If we find in our week that having one day completely separated from any form of work is helpful for us to focus on God, then we essentially can do that. But it's something that's not binding, that's the point. Because it says there that we have a choice as to how we treat it, but we are not to enforce it. So really then, Colossians 2, I think, is the summary for me of what this really is. He says there, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he nailed the law to the cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Then this is what it says. It says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. Why? Well, because they are just a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Now, we just need to pause over that verse, just for a moment. It's saying, don't let any man judge you concerning the Sabbath day. Well, that's exactly what Romans 14 said, isn't it? Let every man be persuaded in his own mind. But it's not binding. No man can judge you if you keep the Sabbath. No man can judge you if you do not keep the Sabbath, is the message of Colossians 2. Because what it's saying is that the law of Moses and the Sabbath day was a shadow of something better which was to come. It wasn't the reality of what, it wasn't the end point. The Sabbath was a schoolmaster. It was to teach us of something greater. And the body is of Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is the embodied reality of what all of these things look forward to. So it says, look, you do what you want. Don't let any man judge you concerning your view to the Sabbath or your attitude to it. If you find that on the seventh day, you know, it's a spiritual habit that you need to rest, then you can do that. But don't let any man judge you for that or the other way around. But it's just a shadow of what is to come. And that's what we need to look at just for our remaining couple of minutes. Well, what then is the shadow, or what is the reality of what the shadow of the law of Moses was pointing forward to concerning the Sabbath day? We're actually not going to look at this, but we would find, and we can find it throughout the gospel narratives, is the attitude of the Lord Jesus Christ and the attitude of the Pharisees toward the Sabbath day. So Jesus' teaching about the Sabbath day really was that he didn't teach it to be kept. The Sabbath for the Lord Jesus Christ was about doing good. And those phrases there are picked out, those phrases after the passages are really picked up from the passages as to what they're really talking about. The Lord Jesus Christ did work on the Sabbath day. He himself worked on the Sabbath day. And that really is all we need to say about the subject, isn't it? If the Lord Jesus Christ worked on the Sabbath day, and he never broke the law, then we ought not to say we have to keep it if he did not. The Sabbath for the Lord Jesus Christ was like any other day, really. It was about doing good, like he would do on any other day. So if one man esteems every day to be alike, then let him be persuaded in his own mind, because that's what the Lord did. Every day to him was a day to do good. Well, so the principle then for the Sabbath in our lives, I think we've really covered that, haven't we? In the sense that the law of Moses did pass away, but God really still requires us to understand the Sabbath day and its principles in our lives. But we don't need to keep the ritual. We need to keep the spirit of it, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, but not of the letter, because the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. So the Sabbath then, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, was about doing good. And the true Christian really must do this every single day if they are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. To do work every day. To do good every day of our lives. So, what was it looking forward to? And this really is where we conclude. Perhaps you'll turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 4. We don't really have time now to discuss particularly the doctrine of the kingdom of God on earth. But what we find is, just as God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh day, just as man was to work 6 days and rest on the seventh day, and we could even go a step further and say, just as the land in Leviticus was to work for 6 years and then have a Sabbath of rest for a year, so we find that God's ultimate plan with this earth is that man would be in existence for about 6,000 years, and on the 7,000th year, there would be a Sabbath of rest. A 1,000-year Sabbath, because we read in Peter that a day to God is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And so we have the 7,000th year of the history of man is the Sabbath day, and it's what we know as the kingdom of God. It's when the Lord Jesus Christ is in this earth and reigning from Jerusalem. It's the chapter, isn't it, in Revelation chapter 20 that talks about the 1,000 years. That is the Sabbath. You see, the law of Moses was just bringing us to Christ. The law of Moses was a shadow of good things to come, but it was not the reality. The body was of Christ. And so what the Sabbath was to teach was that for 6,000 years, man would work and work. Because the curse in Eden in Genesis 3 was that man would work. But then God said, just like my people Israel had to keep the Sabbath, just because they had to keep the seventh day holy, because they had to rest on the seventh day, that was teaching us, teaching them that God would have a rest of 1,000 years, a millennial period where the earth would be at rest. And this really is how the Sabbath law was a schoolmaster to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it gives us hope, which is why 2 Corinthians 3 emphasises the fact that the law killeth. Why? Because the law passed away, but the Spirit giveth life. Well, how? Because if we understand the Sabbath, we understand that for we can live in that kingdom. And so the Spirit giveth life. If you understand that the Sabbath day was speaking of the kingdom of God, the millennial age of rest. And it was the Lord Jesus Christ, wasn't it, in Matthew 11? I will come to Hebrews 4 in a second. In Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. He says, I will give you rest. And that's the word for Sabbath. I'll give you a Sabbath of rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find a Sabbath of rest unto your souls. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, is telling us what the Sabbath means to us today. That's what the rest really was looking forward to. And so we find Hebrews chapter 4. And all the way through Hebrews 3 and 4, it's talking about the children of Israel through unbelief, not entering into the rest in the land of Canaan, back in the days of Joshua, in the days of Moses. That those who had not belief would not enter into rest. Just look at chapter 3 of Hebrews and verse 18. But to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest? That's the Sabbath. But to them that believe not? So we see that they could not enter into rest because of unbelief. And that's the key message of tonight. Through belief, we can enter the kingdom of God, the Sabbath of rest, that which the law was pointing forward to. Well, then we come to Hebrews chapter 4, and we find out verse 3. We find here the message is that we which have believed will enter into rest. Those who do believe in the kingdom of God will enter into the kingdom of God if they abide by the principles of God revealed in his word. We which have believed do enter into God's Sabbath of rest. This is how the Spirit giveth life, and yet the letter would kill. If we keep the Sabbath law now every single week, and do not have that belief in a future Sabbath, then that is how the letter killeth. But then we come down, don't we, to verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day, so we're on the Sabbath, the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein. And they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. He's saying, look, God rested on the seventh day, on the Sabbath day. And there's still going to be a group of people, it says, who will enter into rest, who will enter in to the kingdom of God. Then he reveals it further in verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. And if you have the same margin as me, you'll notice that the word for rest is speaking of the keeping of a Sabbath. There remaineth a Sabbath of rest to the people of God. Notice that shift from Exodus. Exodus was every week the children of Israel must keep the Sabbath, and they will die if they do not. And now in the new covenant, the old covenant has now passed away, and the reality in the Lord Jesus Christ has set in, and the new covenant, the Spirit which giveth life, is this. That there's still a Sabbath of rest to anybody who would like it, to the people of God. This is no longer just open to the children of Israel as it was in Exodus. This is now to all those who have that belief that they can enter to the kingdom of God. And the lesson for us is, verse 10, he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. And there is the key to our life, to cease from our own works, to do the work of God. And then we can enter into the Sabbath of rest. And so we finish with verse 11, where it says, let us therefore labour to enter into that rest. You see, this is how the Sabbath was pointing forward. It's the future, the 7,000th year of God's plan, that if we work and labour, we can enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. So really, in summary, we can see from all those passages that the law of Moses passed away. We no longer keep the letter of the law, but we understand the Spirit. We understand what it teaches. And it teaches that God has a future rest for any who would come to him as the people of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me, all you that labour, and I'll give you that Sabbath of rest. And that's the key message for us, that there is a Sabbath of rest coming. And we need to believe to be associated with that and to enter into God's kingdom, which will be upon this earth. So thank you.